Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here's the host of The Pleasure Zone, sensual movement artist, relationship and sex alchemist, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today, we are going to have our conversation about some things that have been popping up on my social media feed. And I don't even know why I'm following these people or how they landed in my life. Or maybe they landed in my life by accident and now there's stuff in their feed is just popping for me. It is all about who leads and who follows in a healthy relationship. And I have to say, there have been some very interesting posts that I've been seeing lately. Interesting as in triggering. And I'll talk about some of them on this show. I won't be naming names of who posted them. However, I will be talking about some of the responses that people have given that I think are really valid responses. And then I think there are some responses which are archaic, frankly. So we're going to look at all of that, and feel free to argue with me on this or whatever you feel like doing, because you know what? Engagement is great. Whether you love me or hate me, thanks for engaging with the show and listening and writing. So as a sex and intimacy coach and a holistic health practitioner, what I find a lot of times is that people's health is affected by the relationships of the people they're closest to. You know, that's their family or their spouse or their friends or their coworkers. Their health gets affected by different things in relation to the relationships they have. Now, why is that? Part of it is because our health is affected by our stress levels and our ability to, you know, regulate certain hormones. And if you're bringing in happy hormones and you're in an environment that feels happy, then your body tends to feel more relaxed and at ease and connected. And when that happens, in the polyvagal response, your body is calm and can heal. Now, if your body's under stress and duress and you're in fight or flight all the time because maybe you're in fear in your relationship, or maybe you are in frozen mode at times in your body because, or you feel like too afraid to say anything because you're frozen, then the chances are that's going to affect both your relationship and your health. If you're frozen and you're not saying what you need to say in your relationship, it's going to cause communication breakdown. It's going to cause breakdown of a relationship. And then it's going to cause breakdown for you because you've been holding on to a lot of things and probably having your body be totally exhausted by the weight of all of that emotional baggage. So, ooh, we got a lot to unpack today, guys. With this title of who leads and who follows in a healthy relationship, I added healthy relationship because we could talk about who leads and who follows in an unhealthy relationship, which would be an abusive situation where whoever is leading, I wouldn't say is necessarily leading, but is controlling, is a lot different than who leads. Leading in a way that is a benevolent leadership with kindness is very different than somebody who's controlling and demands that their way is the only way. Now, about a year and a half ago, I was at an event and I actually walked out on a speaker because the speaker was adamant that women must submit to their men. For one, I am not a fan of only discussing heterosexual relationships. I think it's very limiting and excludes a whole lot of people that I know and love. So that is both limiting and archaic. And so a lot of the reference that person had talked about was In the Bible, it says that woman naturally submits to man. This is the role of the woman in the, according to God, this is the role of woman. So I want to be real clear that what's written in the Bible is not according to God. It's according to man's interpretation of what he thinks God is saying. Let's tap into God for a second. Would God require any human to submit to any other human? I get heck no. Now, are you in collaboration and, are you working with God, the universe? Now, depending on your belief system, it might be yes. If you're agnostic, you might be like, I don't know. If you're atheist, you'd be like, hell no. So all of that is dependent on your belief system. Now, if you truly believe that a woman needs to submit to a man and the only relationships that are valid are man and woman, you've already lost me. You've lost me so hard and so fast, because I just can't get on board with that. And yes, you can try and convince me. And guess what? I spent most of my childhood in churches listening to priests and listening to pastors. And I went to both a Presbyterian church and an Orthodox church. I spent almost every Sunday in church for most of my childhood till I was about 15, 14 or 15. And then I still went randomly. And even in high school, went to a Catholic high school. We read the Bible. So I am talking from a place of reference here. I can't speak about the Quran or any other texts. I could speak about some other texts that I've read, but not that I've necessarily studied or been immersed in. So this concept that in order for a relationship to work, a woman must naturally submit to a man, and that a woman is naturally submissive to a man who she trusts to lead, even if she's an alpha female. There was a quote that I saw on social media that was, a woman is naturally submissive to a man whom she trusts to lead, even if she's an alpha female. Now, a lot of, I can see where this person's trying to go, where will a woman naturally submit to a man if she is an alpha? Not necessarily naturally, but if I trust that my husband has a really good idea, that doesn't mean I've submitted to him. It means I acknowledge his brilliance and I'm on board with that. Submitting puts yourself under somebody, like following, like as if you can't make your own path. Of course you can. Now, this idea that we have to follow or submit is a very, it's an old, definitely an archaic way of thinking. Now, there are situations where it definitely works with things like ballroom dancing, where you need a strong lead to dance with, or maybe not. Catch me on this one. You could be dancing with two partners who are highly skilled and are absolutely in tune with each other, and you can't tell who's leading or following. And I think there's even more beauty in it when you can, when you see it and you're not actually sure who's leading or who's following because they're so in sync with each other. What if instead of leading and following, we could look at how can we synchronize ourselves with each other? And there will be times when we're out of sync. And what if that doesn't say, like, what if that says nothing about your relationship? You're out of sync. One person wants to eat at one time, one person wants to eat at another time. Are you going to force your partner to eat when you want to eat? If you are, you're a control freak. So just heads up. Or can they just eat when they freaking want to, when they're actually hungry? So in our house, the food is there. Eat it when you want, do what you want. It's not, you have to right now because I said so. In watching my grandparents, they had a specific time when they ate because my grandpa was a doctor. Food was set out for when he was going to be done his work in order to honor and acknowledge that, he was the breadwinner for one, and also that my grandma loved socializing at dinner. So the one time where we would all get around for conversation was around dinner, and it was really important to my grandma. And we all knew that. If it's not important to you, then don't make it important just because it was important to like your grandparents or your parents. Those rules are their rules, not your rules. And if they don't work for you, don't use them. So why I'm saying that is because a lot of this concept of who leads and who follows is coming from other generations. Generations where, you know, the man, we're going to go with heterosexual relationships because this is where this this is where I can see it and relate to it. I have seen it in partner in the LGBTQ community as well, where there may be one person who's more dominant than the other. But I see it actually more in heterosexual relationships. So I'm going to use that as a reference. So when we look at like the 19, you know, anywhere before maybe the 1970s, because things kind of changed in the 1970s, there was a dynamic where you had your breadwinner, you had your, you know, one income family, you had the, you know, the trad wife. So if you're not sure what that means, that's traditional wife. So you had the trad lifestyle with the trad wife, where the wife stayed at home, the husband did the work, the wife raised the children. Really practical then. And financially, it made sense as well, but also because of the situation of that there wasn't like child care the way that we have it now. And there wasn't, the world wasn't open to women working in as many industries as it is now. So there weren't a lot of opportunities for women to even go out and work. And the ones that did, oftentimes they were, you know, pioneers, and they were kind of on the edge and often in situations, in work situations where they were maybe the only woman with a group of men, and it could have, you know, put some pressure on them, extra pressure to work extra hard to prove themselves. I say that because my mom was a chef in the 70s, and her year of when she went to college for chef school, she was only the second year where women were allowed to go through chef training. And she went through chef training in the 1970s in Canada, and hers was only the second year where women were allowed to go through chef training, which is interesting considering who in the trad world of trad wives does the cooking. It's the woman, but for some reason, she could not go out and become a professional chef. One of the reasons they had was that you had to be able to carry a 100-pound bag of flour, or you had to be able to carry like a 100-pound cut of meat. And they assumed women couldn't do it. But my mom at 75 can still lift a 70-pound rock or more, like she's a freaking workhorse. And so I think there's a misunderstanding, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Maybe you don't. And I'm not saying that men and women are necessarily, I wouldn't even label it as men and women can and can't do the same jobs. I think certain body types. So if you have a really tiny body that doesn't have a lot of muscle mass or skeletal strength, you're not going to be able to do the heavy lifting that somebody with more muscle mass and more skeletal integrity can lift. I don't care what your genitals look like. It doesn't really matter what your genitals look like. It matters about your build. So, and it's, you can be small and very strong with small muscles. My mom is small with strong muscles and a strong skeletal system. And she's also not a weightlifter lifting 900 pounds of stuff. So why I'm bringing that up is because a lot of these values of who leads and who follows are coming from generations before. And if we look at generations before us, but what did they do, and how did what were their lives like, and like what did they bring forward to us, and what are we carrying on now as belief systems? And whatever we're carrying on as belief systems, are we doing it to be in congruence with what they had? Are we in alignment and agreement with what our forebears believed about relationships? Or are we doing the opposite pendulum swing and fighting it completely and, you know, disagreeing? Either way, we are creating some kind of relationship to relationships. And So whether you're aligning and agreeing with the trad life and trad wife, or you're aligning and agreeing with something more modern, one is actually in reaction to a system, and the other one is actually just agreeing with an old system. So what if, in my opinion, what if there is neither of those are actually it? What if we're not really looking to have the exact opposite of the trad life, where everybody is out there just for everybody has to be the leader. It's not really like that. What if there's this different dynamic that can occur where there's collaboration, cooperation, and a little bit more clarity and understanding in relationships so that you know what works for you, and it isn't a one size fits all kind of scenario where a woman would naturally submit to a man? What if a woman isn't with a man? What if a woman's with a woman? What if a man's with a man? What if we're talking about whole other scenarios as well, right? So, we're limiting it when we're just looking at it from this perspective of a woman naturally submits to a man that she trusts to lead her, even if she's alpha. So one of the thoughts comes from actually looking at the genitals, and we'll talk about that when we come back, because it is the pleasure zone. So why do men lead and women follow? Well, I don't know, because I've never been a very good follower, but I am a good collaborator and a good listener. So when we come back, we're going to have a little look at how do these genitals play such a wild role, and who gets to be in control? Because I'm going to call it control, because in this case, that's the energy of it in relationship. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seeker. Today, we're talking about who leads and who follows in a healthy relationship. Now, in the first segment, we were looking at some traditional situations where a lot of people these days that I'm seeing posts from are talking about having a woman naturally submit to a man. So therefore, the man becomes the leader in the relationship. Now, not all men want to lead. Some of them have actually, they might be at work, they might be mentally drained from what they're doing that day, and they don't want to come home and have to you know, also be on the whole time and be in charge. Some might. So I don't think this is a true scenario for everybody. And I don't think it works for all men. And I don't think it works for all women. And I don't think it works for all kinds of relationships either. What can be helpful is to know when what, you know, when you are being a control freak, know that. And it's like, wow, I'm really controlling right now. And I think everything has to go my way. Fascinating. Where's that coming from? Okay, if I really feel like I need to be that controlling, what's going on? Where do I feel out of control that I feel like I need to gain so much control? And then that's a self-evaluation to figure out. So if you're feeling like you would like to submit and you don't have a partner that has maybe the strength of character or the mindset for that, then that's something that, you know, they could develop, but they might not develop. So that's also something to discuss in conversation is, would you like to have more, you know, say or control in a relationship? And I don't care what your genitals are, whether you got a yoni or you got a phallus. It doesn't matter what your genitals are. Who, you know, on certain things, you may have more skill or more ability. So it would be smart for you to do the job or the take on the role or the position of whatever needs to be led in that case. So sometimes in relationships, there might be one person who's really good with the money. And it doesn't matter again what your genitals are, but if you're the one who's really good at money, maybe you're the one who takes the lead with money. You can educate your partner to strengthen them, rise them up, and also empower them if that's something they want or are asking for. And sometimes it might be a situation where it's like that they have no interest and they're just really grateful for your super capacities with finances. That doesn't mean that they've submitted to you. It means they acknowledge the greatness that you are in that role. And I think there's a huge difference between being a follower or, you know, following or submitting or acknowledging somebody's abilities, capacities, and greatness in something. And not just like quietly doing it, but saying, you know what? I see that you're really good at this. Are you know, is it something you're comfortable with, like just taking over and being in control of this? Just like in a work environment, if, you know, if you have employees and they happen to do something a lot better than you do, then you can pass on the role. So it's kind of a relief when somebody can do it better than you can because you can pass on the responsibility. So in that way, it can be a relief. Now, again, it doesn't matter what your genitals are. So in this quote where the person said a woman is naturally submissive to a man who she trusts to lead, I think all partners can be, no matter what your genitals are, willing to acknowledge the greatness of their partner, whatever their, you know, special skill, talent, or capacity is, acknowledge that and rise them up. Allow them to, if you want to learn whatever it is they're doing, and allow them to encourage you and empower you so you can learn it too. So that you're not, say, for example, your partner's been in charge of the finances forever and they die and you have no clue about anything about the finances. Now, somebody who's actually a good leader will ask if that's something you want to learn or put in different scenarios so that if that person in charge of finances dies tomorrow, you know, you've got your accountants in place, you've got your people in place, you've got your paperwork organized, you've got everything ready so that whoever has to step in, because if it's not you, you're going to have to hire somebody to step in to do that particular role equally as good as your partner did or better. So there will be roles and times where you might not need somebody to step in because you actually were interested in being empowered and figuring out how to do whatever it was that your partner was really good at. And so you have those skills, you just might not have executed them yet. Like, I love cutting grass, but my husband loves cutting it more. So he gets to cut the grass. And if he was ever injured, I know how to cut the grass. I can do that. It's not that I've submitted. I was like, I see what brings you joy and you love doing that. So why would I take that away from you? So I think there's been a language of division when it comes to who leads and who follows, instead of being in the energy of I acknowledge where you have strengths and I am happy to support your strengths and I'm happy to receive from you with whatever it is that you're bringing to the table with your strengths. And I encourage you, and if you want to learn it yourself, and I encourage you to, you know, show me, teach me, whatever it happens to be. There was another thing that I saw posted that was kind of interesting, again, about dominance and seeking dominance. And here's another meme. It said, a high quality woman seeks a dominant male. And I'm talking about mental dominance, a man who guides her when she is feeling lost and puts her in her place when she's doing stupid shit. That will turn her on, pure masculinity. Now, I don't know about that, but it might turn some on. That wouldn't turn me on. I don't need to be put in my place. That sounds like super aggressive and controlling. And if you're into that and you're like, you're all about the being dominated mentally, which is different than being dominated physically, or being different than being dominated emotionally. So being dominated physically and having maybe your hands tied up with total consent is cool. Now, these relationships, a lot of these memes and like quotes I'm bringing to you today, there is an assumption of that everybody's okay with this, but it doesn't mean that everybody's consented to it. These kinds of relationships of where you are going to submit or you choose to submit, even though you might be a dominant person, requires consent, because this is kink play. You are living kink play and need to have some ground rules in place, because there will be, I guarantee you, a time when you cross the line if you're the dom, and there will be a time when you cross the line if you're a sub. So living in that lifestyle all the time, as you have a partner who's the leader and a partner who's the follower, there will be a time where the follower slash sub will, you know, probably have something like a desire to no longer be a sub. Maybe it could even just be a flash moment. So you still need to have safety things in place. Like, I don't know, let's get your safe words in place, even for conversations or actions or daily living. You can have all of that in place to be able to navigate your relationship and not feel like you're in a control situation where the partner who is the leader is actually more like a totalitarian, dominating kind of that kind of leader, rather than like a benevolent, kind leader. Yeah. So when somebody talks about leading, my question to them is often like, what kind of leader are you? Because if you feel that people need to submit to you, you're not my people. If you're willing to acknowledge the greatness in your partner, that's actually, so I'm going to see just how this flips, right? So if I can acknowledge the greatness in my partner, see what his strengths are and encourage his strengths, who's actually the leader? When you're in school and your teacher acknowledges your strengths and encourages your strengths, is the teacher the follower or the leader? So in partnership, if you can actually be the person who's encouraging, acknowledging, you're actually more in the position of leader, facilitator, teacher than you are as a follower, even though your partner might appear to be, we'll say, in the dominant role. Oh, they're taking care of the finances and they're doing this and they're doing all these things. However, you're probably just equally as capable of doing them, or you just don't like doing them. Like me, I just don't like doing some things, and my husband is really good at them and doesn't complain about doing them. So, having gratitude for your partner when they're doing roles that you don't actually enjoy is awesome. It's like, thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it because it's not my favorite job, and I appreciate that you actually did that because I know it needed to be done. This is where collaborating actually comes in handy. So you can be both the leader and the follower simultaneously. It's not that you're submitting yourself and becoming sub under anybody. You're not under anybody. And how those genitals work on that, right? So I was going to mention in this segment, when you look at the original word for vagina, meaning sheath, to the penis, which is the, if there's a sheath, there's a sword. Got the sword and the sheath. So the thing about the sword is the sword can be aggressive, and the sheath actually protects the sword. So who's protecting who? Let's just think about that for a second. One is aggressive, entering into the sheath. The sheath protects the sword. Who's the leader? I'm going to leave you with that thought. So we're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Interested in masturbating for money, copulating for consciousness, and pleasuring on purpose? 21 Days of Sexual Magicism with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic is an exploration of tools, processes, and actions that you can use to create more for your life, your body, your money inflows, and so much more. Graduated learning for all levels of interest. Learn at your own pace via video classes or join the yearly live class. Take a peek at www.MilicaJelinic.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. In this episode, Today, we're talking about who leads and who follows in a healthy relationship. I don't know if you've noticed this, but part of my feelings on this are that everybody switches who leads and who follows in a healthy relationship, depending on what your skill sets are for certain scenarios. I don't think having all the pressure land on one partner's shoulders to be the leader for everything is kind or fair. It's a lot of pressure. And then what happens when you are the leader and everything falls on you is that all blame for anything going on in the relationship also falls on you, because the follower isn't actually allowed to have a say or be empowered enough to, you know, whether it is speak up or take action or anything like that. They're the follower. I'm going with a really extreme situation where one person does everything and the other person basically sits back and does absolutely nothing. So then, you know, you have the role where you have the traditional life wife situation where, you know, you've got the traditional wife situation is where the man goes out to work, brings home the bacon. The woman has, you know, is all fancy when her husband gets home. And not only is the house clean, the kids are educated, well fed. There is a pot roast in the oven and, you know, a flan for dessert. And you've got the neighbors coming over for cocktails at 7. That is your trad wife life situation. Now, some people absolutely get turned on by that. And guys, if you are turned on by that, power to you. Do what turns you on. And for a lot of other people, that would make you want to vomit on your shoes. So don't do it. The thing is, we're living in a time now where you have options in relationships. And if you are desiring to be in a relationship where you feel 100% taken care of, you're the trad wife, although you're actually not 100% taken care of, you're taking care of everybody. As we know, with the sheath is protecting the sword. The sheath is bringing in aggressively the money, and the sheath of the vagina does the rest of it. So we're just, you know, genital roles. It's all the roles of your genitals. It doesn't matter about the human attached to it. It just matters what your genitals look like, and every role is assigned to those. If you didn't catch the sarcasm, I'm so sorry. So I'm not against the trad wife life. I think it can work for some people. You have to have a certain kind of personality that can work for, and both partners have to have certain personalities in order for that to work. And it needs to be that you have a leader in a benevolent way. So in the trad wife life, you've got the traditional husband who needs to be a benevolent, kind leader. And if that isn't the case, then you're going to end up with a lot of abuse and control issues of one person saying it's their way or the highway. And then you always live with a little trepidation of somebody's going to walk away on you because, well, if you don't do what I say, you know, it's over. Or if you don't want to do this, then why are we even together? It's like that always threat lingering of a breakup. And then when you're in that trad wife life, if you are feeling like that trepidatious of, oh my goodness, like a lot of times in the trad wife life, there's the man brings home the money and the woman often will have like some kind of stipend to be able to pay for the groceries and other things like that, but she doesn't necessarily have a savings. What my grandparents did that was different, which I thought was very cool, was that my grandpa was a doctor, and it wasn't until the 1960s that he actually started making good money, because until then he was making about $50 a month. I know that sounds crazy, but in the 1940s and early 50s, when he first graduated, my grandmother was making more money as a secretary than my grandpa was as a doctor in Canada. So then that changed in the 1960s when we had healthcare kick in, and then, you know, that covered his wages. So at that point, they switched roles, and my grandmother was the traditional stay-at-home wife, and my grandpa paid her to stay at home. So she was paid for her job as housewife. And in that case, I think that that's, if I was going to be a trad wife, I'd want to be at home and being paid to do my role at home as a wife, to do the cooking, cleaning, and everything else. Because if you hire somebody, like I have my cleaning person here today, and when I hire her, I pay her. So if I had to do that job every day, I would want to get paid for that. And if I had to do the cooking and that driving and that in the errand running, if you have to hire somebody to do that, you're going to be paying them at least minimum wage or more to do that job. So it would be only fair to also pay your spouse. If you want them to stay home, it's your job to make enough money to pay them to stay home. That's my interesting opinion. And if you don't like it, suck it. So I think that we can look at relationships in a completely different way now. We do have the people still doing traditional relationships, but I encourage you to look at whether that's working for you. And if it's not, if you're living in fear as a trad wife that you have like no money or anything like that, and you and your partner have agreed that, you know what, you just be like the stay-at-home mom, that's cool, like that is a great role for you, well, then you need to get something financially so that you have a sense of security. Doesn't mean you're going to leave your partner, but it gives you a sense of security that you have something that is yours that you've worked towards, because you're not guaranteed anything in a divorce these days. So doesn't just because you supported your partner while they grew their business doesn't mean you're going to get half of it anymore. So you need a sort of security in order to move forward. And my grandparents were from they were 17 till the time my grandmother died when she was, I think, 82. And that dynamic worked so well for them. I have never actually heard of anybody else who did what my grandpa did. I think he was revolutionary and freaking awesome. And he wasn't necessarily like the solo leader in his relationship as much as they looked like they had a traditional relationship. My grandmother had a say in a lot of things, and she would lay down the law if she didn't feel right about something, she still had a say. And I think with a lot of these concepts of traditional wife, traditional life, you know, you have the man leading, the woman following. Oftentimes the woman doesn't have a say. You know, it's like, we're buying this, tough tits on you, whether you want it or not. And then, you know, the woman's just supposed to submit and go, he's made a wise choice because he has penis and testicles. He must be so, so smart. Oh, so smart. He's got to be because his penis makes him smart. No, in fact, sometimes penis can lead you into a lot of destruction and stupidity. So don't always follow the penis. Penis havers. It doesn't always lead you to the right places. I've also, one of the things is just thinking about this, I was accused once of not being once by one person on many occasions that I wasn't married to. Let me put this clear, that I was not a good traditional Christian wife. And I was like, what? How drunk are you? They were drunk. How drunk are you? A, we're not married. B, I was never a Christian wife. And oh, what are you smoking? So that was a happy, happy day when I no longer heard from that person. It was a weird thing because I was like, dude, we're not married. And why would I be a traditional Christian wife ever? If you want that, go find that, which I think he tried, but it didn't really work. So there are things that people will assume are supposed to happen in relationships, like that you're going to take on a traditional role and you won't even know that's happening. So having the conversation about expectations of what kind of relationship you have or you're going to have is really important before getting married, before having anything long term. Like, are you looking for a traditional scenario? Are you looking for two income earning family? Are you looking to be able to like start a business together? Like, what are you looking to do? And this can change over years and time. So reinviting that conversation in on, you know, a regular basis, not every day, but, you know, once every 6 months or a year, see where you're at, you know, look at your long-term targets and see if they've changed and be honest about them and just be able to have that conversation, see where things go is really helpful. So in terms of leading and following, I'm really curious for those of you listening, have you in your relationships been more of a leader or more of a follower? Or have you been looking to encourage, uplift, and value your partner for all of their skills and what they bring to the table, and then be valued for everything that you bring to the table, acknowledging who does something better than the other, and just jumping on it, not comparing, going, I did more of this than you did, and you did more of this, blah, blah, blah. It's not a comparison game. It's just like, wow, you do that really well. Good job. You did that really well. And it's not going, well, you did that really well, but look what I did. I did 17 times more than what you did. It's not about that. It's just about acknowledging whatever value you're bringing and acknowledging it for you too. Know what value you bring to the table, because some people aren't always the best at being able to communicate what value you're, you know, what value they see in you. So what value do you bring, and do you feel you're valuable in what you bring? And if you don't, then that's time for you to look at what are your values based on? Are they based on, you know, how much love do I bring to the relationship? How much, you know, chores do I bring to the relationship? How much money do I bring? All these things that are maybe they're required, like we got to do the chores and have the money and have the love, but they're also, you know, secondary to you as a person, what you bring, your kindness, your all of the other qualities you bring about you. What do you actually bring to the relationship? Do you bring patience? Do you bring love? Do you bring humor? What do you bring? Those things are so, so valuable. When the money runs out, if you still have humor or curiosity or creativity, guess what? You can bring in more money. You know, the money isn't going to solve, have no humor or curiosity or play. The money isn't going to bring that. It's just going to, you know, make you maybe have more expensive toys or vacations or something like that. It's not going to solve the whatever's lacking personality wise. So when we talk about who's leading and who's following, I think it's really important to see your value of what you bring. Are you a better, are you really good at uplifting your partner? Are you really good at uplifting yourself? Vice versa, because those are really great qualities. And that way you can collaborate with your partner. But we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. And we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. It's one of the ways I'd like to end this conversation today, conversating with myself, but you guys too, I hope you're feeling the conversation happening, is to invite you to go over to my website, MilicaJelinic.com. If you're going through something in your relationship where the dynamics are a bit out of whack and you'd like to have some facilitation with that, some coaching, you can head over to my website, mielitsayelenich.com, and you can book a 30-minute complimentary conversation with me to see if I could work with you and for you as a coach. So go over and do that. So one of the things I'd also like to kind of bring up is leading and following insects. And this is going to be like a really quick run on this. In certain dynamics, if you have a leader with sex, which I tend to be a leader with sex, I'm a sex leader. I will be the one who initiates and brings it up. And that is something that I've always done. I was in partnership with one person who was more dominant, and I actually felt very turned off by them, like just really didn't want to be ever having sex with them. So when I got to be in the position of, or acknowledge that I'm actually like a really good leader when it comes to that, that I think in a lot of ways, and I can't really speak for my husband, but I've asked him this before, he actually really likes that I'm a leader in sex. Like he doesn't like want to have to be initiating. He loves to be initiated and kind of chased. And so I think the dynamics of people are changing, where there is, you know, the hunter gatherer, you know, there is instinctively in nature, I suppose you could say, is that, you know, traditionally the male was the hunter, the female was the gatherer. And we've got roles changing up, and maybe some men are looking more forward to being chased. And I know in the dynamics of like the LGBTQIA+ community, there are definitely dynamics where it's like, how do you know who leads and who follows? You go with the energy, you follow the energy. And that's also something to do when it comes to sex, is follow the energy. If one person is a much, much better at initiating and is comfortable with initiating, go with the flow on that. Do you need to actually change it up? Probably not. And if you do change it up, does it work for your partner? Even though, you know, there's some guys who are out there posting stuff seem to think that they need to be in control of everything. And I don't find that sexy. I like collaboration. Who's with me on that? Whoever's listening and enjoys good collaboration with your partner, creating together, you know, having fun and play and all kinds of things that you're doing together and things that you don't do together because you're not obligated to do everything together. That was something else I saw in a post. It was like, well, it's like somebody's got to submit sometime. Like if you want to watch a movie together, somebody's got to submit and watch what the other person wants. And I'm like, well, why? Why do you have to watch that together? And it was their same comment was like, going out to dinner. Well, somebody's got to submit. I'm like, well, not necessarily. You could always go to like a food court, you know, or the other thing you can do is this time we go where I want to go and this next time we go where you want to go. It's still a collaboration and it's not a submission. It's just like, hey, you know what? I'm cool to going where you want to go this time. Can we go where I want to go next time? Have the conversation and bring that in. And then it becomes a collaboration. And it's not about one person having to give up what they want, because then you end up in a power struggle forever. And most people do not enjoy that unless you have agreed in advance that you are, you know, in the kink lifestyle and you are in living in the dom sub kind of relationship always, and you have your safe words in place. But if you don't, and you've landed yourself into what feels like a controlling situation, there are no safe words in place, it can just feel ugly and gross, and that, you know, you probably are not feeling so turned on by it if it's not something that you've consented to. So whatever your scenario is, know that it doesn't matter what your genitals are, whether you're the leader or the follower, whether you have phallus or a vulva, it doesn't matter. Your genitals aren't the leader. The relationship will determine that. Just have fun. For those of you who are still wanting to connect, it's mielitsayelenich.com. M-I-L-I-C-A-J-E-L-E-N-I-C-H.
Thank you for listening to The Pleasure Zone.
with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. The Pleasure Zone returns next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.